This is the new talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts, podcast 446. So the thought occurred to me today while looking through the news and the latest dispatches, and I don't even watch TV, but I'm sure if you're watching TV, this has occurred to you as well. I feel like we are being manipulated. Do you feel like you're being manipulated in this podcast? Well, our time is really all about change. I feel this very strongly at different times. I'm going to talk about that in this podcast because I think it's really important to bring it up and remind people that we're in an era, a cusp era of change. So it is true that things change. That's the one true statement that you can make about anything, anytime, especially when it comes to real estate, and especially these days in the North Metro. The fact is that now there are more buyers than sellers. So if you're in the market to sell, and especially if you're in the market to buy, you need a real estate professional that understands the market. So this is why I have been introducing prideofhomes.com to listeners and subscribers to the Bob Davis Podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a licensed real estate agent and real estate investor with expertise to share with you. Here's what I want you to do if you're looking to sell or buy in the North Metro. Take a moment and talk with Eric and Aaron Lucero, husband and wife team with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. They are generally in the North and Northwest Metro, Maple Grove. They do Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, Champlin, and the North Metro 94 Corridor. I can't believe how many friends I have that are up there now. And it used to be that those people were beyond the pale. And now I'm up there like three times a month. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aaron Lucero, here's the number if you want to reach out to them, 763-433-9100. Buying or selling, you need real estate professionals with knowledge of the market so you can find a property that fits your needs, or a buyer that can obtain the right financing and is ready to go to close. As a husband and wife team, Eric and Aram can respond quickly. And when you combine that with the customer service that I've heard about at Luke Team Real Estate, which is supposedly fantastic, you're good to go. And my friends have told me that they've used Luke Team and it's great. The North Metro is growing quickly, as I've talked about, with 94 and 610 expansions, the schools, access to both Minneapolis and St. Paul. So if you're looking to buy or sell property, contact Eric and Aram Lucero. They're in the North and Northwest Metro, as I mentioned. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So one of the cool things is I live in a duplex, and I used to have neighbors that got up really early in the morning. And so at night, late at night, like it is now, so past midnight, I had to kind of engage in noise reduction because I didn't want to wake my neighbors up. And now I have new neighbors that pretty much are on my schedule. We stay up all night and sleep all day. So it's a little bit different. And so what ends up happening is I end up thinking, well, gee, I hope it's quiet down there when I go to do my podcast. But tonight I'm kind of hoping that they come down and start making noise and turn the TV on and start running the washer and dryer, because it'll be just a little added distraction since we are not going to run the fireplace tonight. Even though it is a rainy, wet, crappy night in Minnesota. And again, I'm going to mention, for those of us in Minnesota, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, the upper tier, it is dark, dark, dark. And I realized this week, I'm not a fan of winter and I'm certainly not a fan of snow. But I realized this week the value that snow has. And that is that it kind of makes things feel warm, even though it's cold. And also it lights things up. So you can actually see things, because honestly, it feels like it is pitch black. You know, you look out the window and you see lights, and it's almost like looking up into the sky in a clear sky and seeing stars. It's just weird. And when you're driving down the road, everything just feels really, really dark, even with all of the street lights and everything that comes from living in a sort of an urban area. It just feels really dark. So my solution to that is I have one of those sad lights that you can buy that's ultraviolet light, although it's not with the intensity of a sun lamp, but it kind of gives you the feeling of sunlight. And that has made a huge difference in my demeanor So I know I'm not paranoid. I know I'm not suffering from depression of some kind in feeling this sense of manipulating that is going on through this continuous and actually getting more and more ridiculous media coverage of election 2016. So there's several disclaimers that you now have to air before you talk about politics. The first of which is that I'm trying to do something a little different from what you usually hear on talk radio and the media, because I feel it's important to do that. And what I'm doing is I'm not supporting anyone. And I'm not, I honestly, at this point, and this will sound horrible because it seems like a contradiction of my earlier analysis that people need to get off their ass and do something. I'm not even sure I'm going to vote at this point. And it isn't, I don't think it negates my idea that political involvement at the precinct level is important and that people need to be involved. You know, from sort of the town village perspective, we need to renew that. We need to renew that sort of high touch, human to human kind of feeling as an antidote to what we're seeing on the cable news channels 24 hours a day. So it's just I'm just disillusioned, I think, with the whole process, because I'm not happy with any of the candidates. Which brings me to the next disclaimer, which you need to say these days, because if you say anything about Donald Trump, people who are in the moderate Republican wing or Democrats think that you are in fact supporting Donald Trump. So you're not allowed to talk about Donald Trump. You're not allowed to say anything positive about Donald Trump, because then you're supporting Donald Trump. It's very similar to what happens when you give President Obama credit for something. There are certain people who think that you're supporting President Obama and that you're a Democrat because you say, I actually agree with the president on this or that. Or even if you call him the president, you're supposed to call him something insulting in order to maintain your bona fides with certain people. So you need to say that you don't support Donald Trump, but you are going to talk about him, because there is no longer anything close to an objective discussion of the political landscape these days. Supporters, reporters, candidates, and pundits have lost their minds, and it's turned into a snark fest on a day-to-day basis between who can predict the future the most accurately, which is impossible. Even for psychics, it's impossible. To who can say the snarkiest thing first that gets everybody to react. So this was the night of the big debate between Republican candidates in Las Vegas. Now, as you know, I have not watched any of the debates. I've watched maybe 30 seconds of one of the debates. I refuse to watch them because I think this is part of this circus that they've decided that this is going to be for Americans, that this has become an exercise in a freak show that is put up every couple of weeks to shore up the sagging ratings of cable news channels. Because what's the point of watching them at all? The only place anybody's watching that stuff, or should be watching that stuff, or maybe shouldn't be watching that stuff, is if you go to the local watering hole and they've got the TVs up. They have turned political coverage and journalism into sports coverage, where there are winners and losers in every transaction, even though the game won't be played until Election Day 2016. And a series of games will be played in individual states called primary elections within about a month. So if we start with the storyline that Trump is crazy, a fascist, or racist, this is the kind of coverage that you're seeing. And I have watched now, or not watched, but seen something like 2 weeks of coverage of testing out different storylines. You know, the latest was because Trump made the comments about wanting to cut off Muslim immigration to the United States, immigration to stop Muslims at the border. Everybody went crazy about how it's unconstitutional. And I just read tonight that, in fact, the president and the courts have upheld that departments of the executive branch can do whatever they want when it comes to keeping people in or out because immigration and execution of immigration law is not necessarily dependent on the Constitution for non-citizens. And I've seen that a couple of different times. But that wouldn't stop people from saying Trump is crazy, he's a fascist, he's a racist, whatever name you want to call him. And of course, that ended as soon as new polls came out this week showing Trump breaking above 40%. So the news storyline is based on an Iowa poll, which shows Senator Ted Cruz leading by 1 point. This was then conflated with national polls showing Cruz in second place, a full 20, actually almost 30 points below Trump. So the new storyline is Cruz is threatening Trump's lead, which is almost comedic because the only candidate that would catch more fire than Trump at any point as a mainline presidential candidate on the Republican side would be Ted Cruz. So this is all being written and talked about constantly, while at the same time, there's almost nothing being written about Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that we can go on this. But it's starting to get that. I'm getting that really gross feeling that we're being manipulated into either a Trump candidacy or a candidacy for someone else or a Hillary Clinton presidency. And I don't have any proof of that. I don't have anything that I would plug it into, but it just feels like that. And it's very frustrating to me, and I don't even know what I should say about it, but I will say this. I'll stick to what I know, and that is, first of all, as far as polls are concerned, what I'm going to say, again, I have said many times, and if you want to hear it, if you want to understand polling and its limitations, then listen to podcast 421. You have to remember that national polls really are about name recognition, and this early in the political process, even if it says registered voters, that's BS, because voters who claim that they're registered, or if they come from lists of registered voters, doesn't mean that they're actually voters. Iowa polls in particular are notoriously wrong for several reasons, not the least of which is Iowans know that they're being surveyed. They know that the eyes of the nation are upon them. They know that they're picking the quote unquote president. Actually, I should say, quote, picking the president, unquote. So they're either gaming the system, meaning that they're telling the pollsters what they want to tell the pollsters so that they can help their candidate, or they're genuinely taken with the flavor of the month in Iowa, whatever that is. Now, I told you not too long ago that Ted Cruz would have a good chance of winning in Iowa. The reason is evangelicals are the best organized Republicans nationwide, and Iowa Republican caucuses have a history of being dominated by evangelicals. Rick Santorum won the Iowa caucus in 2012. As you know, Michelle Bachmann won the famous straw poll that year. And I believe Mike Huckabee won the Iowa Republican caucus in 2008. So evangelicals can do very well in Iowa. That's the first thing. The second thing is Ted Cruz leading in Iowa and getting the endorsements of local celebrities like Steve Deese and others means his campaign is doing a good job there, and they should be happy and they should be lauded for doing a good job. It doesn't mean that suddenly he is favored to win the election. It is very interesting that it's White House advisor John Podesta who said Ted Cruz will be the next nominee, which, you know, flip a coin. It could be. It could happen. It's not out of the realm of imagination. But there's a reason that John Podesta is saying that. Here's the bottom line, and I'm going to say this again because I have to. No one has voted yet anywhere for a presidential candidate. So when people actually start voting, we're going to be able to get a clearer picture of what's going on pretty quick. But when you see the same result over and over, when you see the same result coming up in all kinds of different types of research, when you see giant crowds and the rush of national media following a candidate around all the time, I don't know if you caught the little pic of the giant crowd of media, and I've been there and seen it for Trump right after the debate, which I'm sure dwarfed all of the other candidates, it's fair to say something is happening with Donald Trump. Now, you may not like it, and that is your prerogative, but Ted Cruz is not threatening Donald Trump's current lead in the polls as much as they say he is, and we won't know until people actually start voting. And so saying that Donald Trump is doing well in the polls does not make me a supporter of Donald Trump. And if the votes among Republicans fall anywhere near what the polls have shown, poll after poll after poll, and, you know, my big issue with the polling in the off-year cycle in 2014 was that in many places it was very, very close. We're talking about congressional districts, and you couldn't make that call. You know, but when you see someone 20 points and 30 points ahead consistently, that's pretty hard to deny on a consistent basis. So again, if people vote the way these polls show, then I think Donald Trump is going to win the nomination by Super Tuesday. It'll be rolled up. Saying Trump scares the hell out of the GOP establishment of consultants and perfumed princes in Washington does not make me a fan of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not a conservative. Donald Trump is not a libertarian. I don't think he's a populist. I'm not quite sure how to describe Donald Trump, and I wouldn't attempt to describe Donald Trump. I am not a supporter of any of these people. They bug the hell out of me on both sides of the political spectrum. And so that puts me in a great position to be a cynic when one of them, because one of them most invariably will win the 2016 election. So then I will not be suspect in terms of what I say, either in criticism or support of the future president. So what's happening with all this? Well, the Republican establishment is pulling out all the stops to try and prevent Trump from winning the nomination. I don't know how many times I can say that. They don't like to hear it. They will have people tweet. They will go after you. They're the most for those of you who are Trump supporters, if you are a Cruz supporter, if you're a Huckabee supporter, if you're, you know, someone like that, if you don't like the Republican establishment and things start going against them, they will do anything. They are desperate, they're dangerous, they're evil, and they will do whatever it takes to win. They will destroy you, they'll tear your character down, they will do anything. So I guess the point is that they're terrified of Donald Trump because they don't seem to be able to stop him no matter what is said. And actually, when he finally gets the nomination, if that happens, I think you're going to see the same kind of situation develop with Democrats where they're going to pull out all the stops. But it seems to be bouncing off him. But the enemy of the Republican is not the Democrat. The enemy of the Republican today is, in fact, the Republican. It is the Republican mainstream establishment, big government Republicans who are in power and want to hold on to their power and will do anything to hold on to their power, because the truth that no one wants to hear is that the Republican Party doesn't have any ideas. And they haven't had any ideas for quite some time. They claim the mantle of Reagan. They claim to be the party of those who think. They claim to be all of these things, but they aren't. And actually, Donald Trump proves that they aren't. The Republican establishment is bankrupt, and it's only a matter of time, like wormwood, that it's finally washed away and breaks loose because they are zombies. They don't know that they're dead, but they are. And that's the way it is. It's either this election cycle or the next election cycle, and the Republican Party will die if those people aren't kicked out. That's my analysis, if you want to give it, if you want to hear it. And it's only a matter of time before that happens. And if Trump stands for anything, in other words, if he represents anything in America, it's this absolute weariness with bullshit from Republican candidates. And unfortunately, I hate to use bad language, but that's exactly what it is. So there are a lot of storylines and a lot of stuff on the campaign trail that is also BS, and I'm going to go through those in a second. I talked earlier about how dark it is right now. It's just dark. There's no snow. It's really not. I've got that weird psychotic SADS lamp that I use to keep sort of regulate my moods. But one of the things that really helps regulate my mood is yoga. I love doing yoga. I practice every day. If I can, I do yoga twice a day. And you guys have heard me talk about it. You know, you're in hot rooms. You're practicing pretty intensely. It isn't for the faint of heart if you work really hard at it, especially if you're doing yoga sculpt or something like that. So the bottom line is you sweat a lot. And I've discovered by talking to people that we really don't get very well hydrated. Even if we drink water, we aren't very well hydrated. So a lot of times that soreness and pain that degrades your practice, no matter what you do, whether it's CrossFit or Orange Theory or something like that, and can cause injuries, you know, getting hydrated is really, really, really important, which is why I'm talking about something that transformed my yoga practice and I think can do the same for you no matter what you do physically. It's called Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S. This is a new high-performance beverage that uses the exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, with no sugar that you get in these traditional sports drinks. Now, that's the official language. I can tell you from experience that Hydrus has performed my yoga practice. And so I can practice every day, regularly twice a day without soreness or pain. In fact, I had to force myself to take a day off the other day. Doesn't matter what kind of yoga. With Hydrus, before, during, and after, my practice is stronger and more fulfilling, and I don't have to deal with pain and soreness. I love this stuff. I really do. My friend Wendy was like, is it really, like, are you really, is it true? And it's like, I wouldn't tell you how much I love this if it wasn't true, because I can't believe how much stronger my practice is getting with Hydrus. I'm actually practicing yoga now instead of grunting and dealing with being sore all the time because I'm hydrated. And if you think just drinking water does the same thing, you know, I always drank a lot of water. Hydrus is radically better. So we'll get to the end of this. Increased work capacity, no bloating. It reduces fatigue and cramping. It improves recovery. It uses no sugar and there's no calories. It's been tested with world-class athletes at Ohio State and with CrossFit and with tennis players. It's great for weight cuts if you're in wrestling or hockey or if you have a kid that's playing sports. Hydrus, H-Y-D-R-U-S, before, during, and after exercise. Join the performance hydration revolution. It's really incredible. You can check it out at hydrusperformance.com, H-Y-D-R-U-S, performance.com. Or you can click on the banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcasts.com. You can get free samples. You can hook yourself up with some Hydrus. Try it for a week, maybe 3 or 4 days. I think you'll notice a change. And thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So I have digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast. These are sponsors that just sponsor the page, thebobdavispodcast.com. Then I give them a mention in the podcast. My favorite one is Alpha Systems because of what they do and how cool it is. And if you're a pilot, listen up because this message is for you. You want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. And Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator, which makes that possible because you're looking at an electronic display that lets you know exactly whether you're in the zone in terms of how much power to add or to pull off when you're getting ready to line up for landing. Now, I'm not a pilot, but that's roughly the explanation. The bottom line is Alpha Systems, AOA, saves lives. There's plenty of examples, and it's FAA approved. They want to get in your avionics package now. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. It's actually pretty affordable when it comes to getting it in your aircraft. So click on that banner for more information. So yeah, I'm a little animated and a little frustrated because I feel like we're being manipulated by the mainstream press and I don't even watch it. I mean, I'm seeing it and reading it, and I printed up a giant hunk of paper today and just spent the last 4 or 5 hours just going through all this stuff and the things that people are saying and writing. I don't have enough time in the podcast to go through all of it because it's just ridiculous. So the latest is that Trump is winning because the middle class is disappearing. This was based on a Pew survey, which supposedly showed that the middle class in America is disappearing. Keep in mind, 50% of the American people are considered to be middle class. So it's still a very high percentage of people who are considered middle class. But the study does not, as far as I can tell, adjust for inflation, and it goes back to 1971. And the other thing is the middle class as a measurement is disappearing because people are moving into higher income brackets. And essentially, the new middle class is people who make over $100,000 a year, and you're going to balk at that. But I got to tell you, once you pay for insurance and regulations and school and other overpriced scarcities that are scarce because they are government regulated, especially if they're in business for themselves, you don't have any money left. So those people are very much middle class. And if you adjust for inflation, you know, I'll just tell you the truth. And my mom will get really upset that I said this, but we were very comfortable when I was growing up, and my dad earned $22,000 a year. And it didn't seem like a lot of money, but it seemed to be enough for us to have a house and for my mom to stay home with us and everything else. And through the 70s, that changed because of inflation. And we've had a fair amount of inflation since. And this is the reason that you have to make over $100,000 a year now to be in the middle class. If you don't make $100,000 a year or close to it, you know, you're pretty much not in the middle class. But the main reason, economically speaking, statistically speaking, that the middle class is waning is because people are moving into the higher income brackets. So that's one of the things that has to be pointed out. Another one is that Trump is winning because dumb people who only have a high school education support him. And this is another issue that's going to fade as time goes on and give way to another storyline. You have to understand that right now there are a bunch of other candidates. They all have their own demographic support. They have regional support, and that's all got to get solidified going forward. So those articles that say who supports Trump and why really are not very predictive. All these storylines are created by writers and pundits and others who have to fill web space, newsprint, and airtime or whatever with something. Why not hot air? They have so much space to fill, they can't say enough. And they can't possibly have enough, you know, third year students or recent graduates sitting somewhere rehashing and retyping what someone else wrote and throwing it up on their website with even snarkier headlines and maybe a little bit of snarky writing. There's a tremendous amount of time and effort put into predicting the future in this country. You may as well just, I'll tell you what to do. Go watch the Joni Patrick videos on YouTube. She is an astrologer who uses Vedic astrology to predict the future. Most of her predictions are wrong, and you will find you'll actually get more out of it because she's actually more right half the time than most of these idiots that tell people what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen, and neither do you, and neither does Joni Patrick or any of the astrologers or any of the so-called quants and pundits on Wall Street. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong, but we spend an awful lot of time trying to tell people what's going to happen and what they need to do to get ready for it. Therefore, because this is all that's going on, I just feel like I'm being manipulated. Because if you actually look at the field of potential candidates, they're really all terrible, with minor exceptions based on caveats rather than anything really substantive. And the reason I say that is, with a few exceptions, I don't really see much in the way of the kind of things I need to hear to make me feel that they are going to lead the country in the direction that it needs to go right now. And I will talk about this shortly, but I think we're at a really critical period in history. I don't see people on either end of the spectrum and throughout all of the candidacies that they keep saying that they're talented. They're not talented. These people aren't leaders, and they don't really have any new ideas. If I told you that I thought I knew why they're manipulating us, I would then be a conspiracy theorist. So I don't know why we're being manipulated. I just feel like we are. And maybe it's just being manipulated to keep watching. But it bothers me. And it's bothering me right now. Because with all due respect to the Trump camp, Trump, as the leading Republican candidate, is no conservative. And it doesn't matter because most Republicans wouldn't know a conservative if they were robbed at gunpoint by one, which perhaps they're about to be. So what's going on in the world that bears some consideration when you are being distracted by all of this stuff, like the debate tonight, which is really, how many more of these debates do you have to know what is going to happen? It just turns into schadenfreude to see which one is going to look stupid. Well, for one thing, by the time you hear this podcast, the most important institution in this country, more important than even the president and Congress and the courts, which is staffed and run by political appointees, the Federal Reserve will have decided whether to stand pat on 0% interest rates or raise them by 25%. Now, this is creating a lot of concern, whether they leave them the same or whether they give themselves some breathing room to lower interest rates later by raising them now, because a lot of analysts don't think that there's any reason when you have, you know, we're looking at really a commodity depression right now. You see a huge reduction in the price of oil, but it isn't just oil. It's all other kinds of commodities being in really a depressed state. China is probably in contraction. And of course, we would know that if they weren't falsifying the data, but now we know they're even falsifying the data. Manufacturing and retail in this country are in a recession. And we're looking at recessionary or very slow growth in Europe or Japan. So when you hear people talking about how one of my favorite articles this week was somebody who wrote that the biggest surprise of the year was that the lower price of oil didn't really act to stimulate the economy. And I just laughed out loud because it wasn't a surprise to me. And if you've listened to the podcast, it isn't a surprise to you because I told you that a reduction in the price of oil is not necessarily a positive economic sign. Lots of sales at the mall are not necessarily a positive sign of economic growth, because what it means is that without any inflation and without any real, you get inflation essentially as, at least on one level, as an artifact of growth. And when you have really solid growth, you have pricing power, and companies like that and people who are in business for themselves like that, because everybody can continue to build their businesses. We have had moribund economic growth over the last 7 years, which has not even begun to make up the GDP lost in the 2008 recession, regardless of why you think it happened, with obvious effects of the job market and with wages and debt. We have enormous corporate debt. We have enormous federal debt, and we're not growing fast enough to offset the growth of that debt. Meanwhile, small business creation is at a low point, and big corporate mergers are also at a high point. And lots of times people will confuse big corporate mergers with positives, but what you have is companies merging to either invert to avoid taxation, or they are merging to make their profit picture look better when they report fourth quarter earnings. This is also not a healthy economic sign. And these, I believe, are actually storm clouds that we are ignoring because we want to hear, we want to watch Donald Trump take Jeb Bush down, right? Meanwhile, on the foreign policy front, Iran has abandoned the fight against ISIS recently, which surprised me, which suggests to me that even the vaunted Quds forces of the Iranian Republican Guard are unable to combat the growth of the Islamic State, and IS is expanding into Afghanistan, even as one of our Gitmo prisoners went back to Afghanistan to help run al-Qaeda. So the bottom line is, given what happened in San Bernardino and the reaction to San Bernardino, which Hillary Clinton was to introduce more gun control, and they keep talking about the attack in San Bernardino when clearly that was a terror attack, we are no closer to a strategy or a plan or anything to deal with the most pressing possible existential threat that we have, which is the Islamic State. And no, I don't think we should send 300,000 troops to the region. I think it's a huge mistake. I think we need a new foreign policy. I think it's complex, and I'm not hearing any of these candidates talking about what they would do. I've said, and I will say again repeatedly, that I do not think President Obama will leave office without suffering the result of his policy. Sometimes presidents do stuff and they're competent enough that when they leave office, the next guy gets hit with whatever flotsam was left by their mistakes. But I don't think that President Obama will enjoy that fate. I think that he is going to actually be hit by his own wreckage before he leaves office, meaning that he is going to suffer the effects of his policies in foreign policy or economics. And the effects actually could be devastating. And we're talking about foreign policy issues. We're talking about terror attacks. We're talking about an economic recession, which is now a distinct possibility by any measure. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying it could. I do think that we will reach a point where we'll say, that we didn't know how bad things were during the Bush/Obama years. And I think the manipulation I feel is the same old elements in power trotting out the same old defenses. This candidate can't win. If you talk about this candidate for any reason, you're a supporter. The old guard should stay in power because at least they know how to run things. You need campaign managers and political consultants to run your campaign because you might say something politically incorrect. Ask Jeb Bush how that's going. The standard 2000 through 2012 Republican campaign that comes in a box, complete with retread consultants and directions about how you're supposed to act, is the favored approach, and anything else is just chaos. But yet we have someone practicing chaos who is leading by 30 points, the closest challenger, at least on a national poll. If it holds, we'll see. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. On the Democrat side, they just keep promising a chicken in every pot. Free housing, free education, minimum income, free health care, the end of a corporation, getting all the guns. You know, people who want to come to this country from other countries have the right to come here no matter what. We don't have the right to keep them out. More government will fix the economy. More government spending will fix the economy. And the government is the solution. And we know how to run it because we're really good at that. Well, None of it's working. None of these ideas are working. And as I said, I don't think people know how bad, and I will include myself in this, I don't think we feel how bad leadership is right now. I think to a large degree, it's like it is outside right now in Minnesota. It's just really dark all the time and overcast and depressing. And I don't think also that our people know how bad the media is right now. But I think one of these days, if it ever happens, we might look back and say, wow, we didn't know how much we were being manipulated. We didn't know how bad those years were between 2000's Gore versus Bush decision and Obama's last year in 2016. And why? Because it's about ideas. It's about optimism. It's about what do we need to do to fix things. We're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about really bad negative stuff because really bad negative stuff is happening. And what worries me is the willingness that some people have to jump into the fray, despite all that we have learned from what happens when you do this, foaming at the mouth and just supporting some candidate without any sense of objectivity, especially in the media, because you're being exhorted to by the managers and the people in the main office months before the first actual vote is cast, which, by the way, is New Hampshire, since that is an actual primary election where people actually pick from names on a ballot, not a mob in a gym somewhere in Iowa that is being, there's more media there than there are actual people caucusing. What worries me is a media nervous system that is so sensitive to even the slightest vibration that what a butcher or school teacher in Iowa says into a camera at a sparsely attended fundraiser is taken as gospel for what, quote, Americans are thinking. Or, you know, film of politicians practicing retail politics at a plant in New Hampshire somewhere is taken as what is really, really going on. And then you have these shabbily conducted polls touted as gospel and analyzed to the point where conclusions extracted, kicking and screaming from the data, are used to justify the craziest and the worst and most inaccurate kinds of analysis, which actually borders on the hysterical. Now, if you don't believe me, all you have to do is take a tour through the political Twitter feed, spend a half hour on Facebook with the memes and the videos, and people respond to a tweet or a link which they never watch and write, you know, ridiculous things without actually knowing what they're talking about, either on the issues or based on what they're seeing. Somebody sent me an email tonight that said, hey, what's that ISIS website? So, you know, there is no ISIS website. You have to go through and you have to, number one, you have to disconnect from cable television news completely. If you haven't already, and from the local news and from network news, because number one, it's a waste of your time because all they do is put commercials on there. And the commercials are actually provided, they're the ones that are cooking your brain. It's those commercials about the drugs and their side effects that are actually cooking your brain. So that's the first thing. You have to cut it off and stop watching it no matter what's going on. And number two, then you start going online or buying the newspapers and going through the newspapers and slowly but surely connecting the dots and reading between the lines. And you go based on what you can prove and you go based on what you see again and again, and you develop theories and ideas and storylines of your own that you then balance with the facts, the who, what, where, when, and why that you can demonstrate as being real, like it rained in Florida yesterday, for example, or it snowed in North Dakota yesterday, as opposed to these manipulations, because it's all these PR people and spinners that are out there throwing out emotional bait that people then respond to. And so, yeah, we're being manipulated at a very sophisticated and intense level in our society. And there are many willing accomplices who either know what's going on or don't. You know, I was at Whole Foods the other day, and, you know, I looked around and I thought, I saw all these people there, and everybody seemed to be literally in a daze. And I thought, and this is really interesting, I thought, I wonder how many of these people are on antidepressants. You know, my only drug is coffee. But, you know, what's interesting about coffee is it puts you, and I've said this before, it does put your head in a different space because you kind of see people shuffling around. It was weird. People just shuffling around and people driving haltingly and slowly and weird or too fast. It's just weird right now. It feels weird. And maybe I'm crazy, but actually I'm not going to say that because I don't think I'm crazy at all. I think I'm observant. And I think I'm seeing things, I don't, at least in my neck of the woods, it may not be happening in your neck of the woods, but whatever it is that's out there is coming. I'm convinced of that. And I think that there is nothing anyone can really do about it, even if they knew what was coming or knew what to do. You know, obviously, if you're a conspiracist, you believe that someone somewhere knows what is coming. Maybe it's the aliens that are waiting in the wings, or they're going to engineer some disaster in order to bring about the world government, or whatever it is that your ideas, which actually may not be far-fetched, given what's going on. So it's almost like you have to relax and enjoy the ride and turn that crap off. By the way, earlier, I think I said that the Fed would raise interest rates by 25%, and that is really not correct. I really don't understand the whole, it would be, I guess it would be 25 basis points, but my understanding it would be 0.25. So it'd be a quarter of a percentage point increase if they do anything on Wednesday, December 16th, which is probably going to be when you hear this podcast. So that is podcast 446, kind of an update, kind of a rant, kind of a warning. But again, I'm not a predictor of the future. I wouldn't do that. And really, for a kick, go on to YouTube and click on Joni Patrick. I think that's her name. And watch her astrological predictions, which are just as useful as the punditry and their nonsense that they claim is reporting. And I just can't help myself railing about those people. Now, thank you for listening to the Bob Davis podcasts on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com. Also, thanks for being interested in and listening to the new Bob Davis podcast radio show, which is at GCNLive.com. Now, I just want to say very quickly, if you're in one of those towns that's not Minneapolis, well, actually, you can do it in Minneapolis and St. Paul. You know, the show is not being picked up on any radio stations, and it's mostly because I haven't really started calling around too much. I did call my friend at one of the radio stations in town, and I'll be calling people around the country. But if you want to get the show on, it's just an hour-long show once a week. Call the local program director and tell them to put the show on. Tell them you want your Bob Davis. That'd be kind of cool. And see what you think of the show. It's at GCNLive.com. And thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, which is my favorite social media because there's no snark and lots of really good pictures and fun people doing fun things. And I love it. And thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. That's going into diesel fuel for Mobile Podcast Command. We're going to be heading out again in the very last couple of days of January, heading down to Iowa to cover some events just prior to the caucuses and the caucuses. And then we're heading through the Mid-South down to South Carolina, which is going to be absolutely a pivotal state this year, as well as Georgia and Florida. And I'll tell you more about that when we get on the road. I can't wait. I'm itching to get on the road. All right. Thanks for listening to podcast 446, the Bob Davis Podcasts.